thee, O Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. All of heaven is rejoicing over what is taking place today. All of heaven, with the angels and archangels, with your loved ones, your fathers, your mothers, your grandparents, your siblings who have gone on before you through death into life eternal, are rejoicing with us today. Why? Is it because these confirmands have finally made it through their instruction with the pastor, countless hours with the small catechism, being questioned about a myriad of things over and over? Is it because they get to receive the sacrament for the first time today? I'm sure that's a reason. Is it because little Lexi Marie Gibbons has had all of her sin washed away and has received the crown of everlasting life through the gift of holy baptism? Sure. Is it because we are all gathered together here with family and friends, full in what seems to be a festive time on Palm Sunday, a happy mood, happy things happening, especially getting out of the doldrums of Lent? I don't know. All of heaven is rejoicing because today, once again, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has come into our midst. He has spoken his word of truth to you. He has once again proclaimed that our sins are forgiven. And yes, that by his Holy Spirit, he has granted eternal life to all of us, including even little Lexi. And he has opened the mouths of these confirmands, as he will in a few moments, to confess Christ publicly for all to hear. We have confessed our sins, and as the scriptures say, that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who confesses. And yet, this is nothing new. It happened last week. It'll happen next week, Sunday in and Sunday out, and in the end, it will continue to happen until Christ returns. He will still send his word forth to accomplish that which it is sent for. The question, though, is, are you rejoicing with the company of heaven today as well? Are we just trying to get through this service, waiting for the sheet cake over in the social hall? Just biding our time, going to give a nice congratulations, a nice pat on the back to the confirmands, a welcome to Lexi as she's the newly baptized? Or do we join these four today in their confession of the faith? Are you willing to answer the same questions that they are going to be answering today as well? Do you rejoice in the gifts that God has given to you in your baptism? Are you willing to renounce the devil and all of his works and all of his ways? Do you hold all Holy Scripture to be the very voice of God, the true prophetic word of God in your midst each day? Do you intend to live according to the word of God in faith, word, and deed? And maybe the kicker of all of the questions, are you willing to give up all, even death, rather than fall away from this Christian faith and the church? Are you rejoicing as to what's taking place in our midst today? Truth be told, I doubt it. I have a nasty allergy cold this morning. The last thing I wanted to do is get up and speak.
And most of you, I'm sure, would rather be someplace else, and that's fine. We acknowledge that publicly at times. But I think even more so, we don't often get what this is all about. Once we walk out of here today, our lives will continue on. Some lives will go on as normal, with things acting normally, things being maybe rather happy in the choices that we've made in our lives. For some of us, though, our life might take a turn south. Life might hit the skids. Life might get a little tough. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's a job loss or financial hardships. Maybe it's marital problems, a problem with a neighbor or a coworker, or a myriad of other problems. Maybe it's seeing somebody suffering. Maybe it's suffering and pain in your own life. In the end, we all have our crosses that we must bear and we must go through. And the reality is that we oftentimes don't always see Jesus in the midst of those crosses, in the midst of those painful times and that suffering. When we go through the doldrums, the suffering in life, our cries might go out to God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What have I done to you to deserve this? Why me? And as one of my old seminary professors used to say, why not you? What do we truly and really deserve in life? Maybe we don't get that as well in the midst of these things. But in the midst of all of this, this is why we sing again, Hosanna, Hosanna. Lord, save us now, save us now. This is where the rubber hits the road for us. Today is not the end of Christian instruction for these four. It's certainly not graduation. It is the beginning. These four have gone through the instruction with me. They have endured it. I have learned so much from them, but I can't make them get it. Just like I can't make you see and recognize Christ all the time. I can't make you believe that God is truly working here in miraculous and powerful ways today, that He works all things for good to those who love Him, especially when you're seeing pain and suffering and crosses in life. Only God can do this in your midst, which He does through the miraculous working and power of His Holy Spirit by the means of His grace in His Word and in His sacraments. These kids and George went through the small catechism, and they may remember the explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the third article, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit is the one who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies me in the truth. This is why we can only do the one thing possible here today in the midst of heaven's rejoicing. We can only continue to point to Jesus and let Him do the talking about what it is that He has done. We have every and absolute reason today to rejoice with heaven as to what's happening in today. Just as they did that first Palm Sunday so many centuries ago. In fact, you have more reason to celebrate than they did today. As 21st century disciples in the Christian faith, you have the advantage over those people who first welcomed Jesus that first Palm Sunday. We know the whole redemption story, that Christ would go into Jerusalem, that He would suffer and die, and He would rise again. We know why He went into Jerusalem, to Calvary, to the cross, amidst all of the fanfare and welcome. Those first disciples didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They didn't look to the cross and see a truly powerful work of God being performed. They didn't see the mighty and powerful love and forgiveness that Jesus' death, His one death for the whole world, has given to all of you today. They didn't see it. But because of the absolute and incredible gift of faith and repentance, we get to see it. and hear it in our midst today. Blessed are those who have not seen, says Jesus, and yet believe. But more importantly, we know that Calvary is not the end of the story. Christ would completely conquer sin, death, and the devil, but he didn't do that just to settle the score. The tomb would not hold Jesus back. He would step out, as we will hear next Sunday on that Easter morning. We will still suffer. We will still have hardships and heartbreaks in life, but our Lord still comes to us for us and for our sins, lowly and humble, through simple words, through water, through bread and wine, humbly but mightily processing to bring you today the victory of God in your midst. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the devil. Folks, something great and powerful is taking place before you this day, before your very eyes and in your hearing. The results are here for you to behold. Scripture is being fulfilled. A baby has become a child of God, an heir of everlasting life through holy baptism. And these four will stand before you shortly and confess the Christian faith given to them in their same baptism. They are doing this in the midst of an unchristian and almost anti-Christian world, a world that wants nothing to do with Christ, a world that is even hostile and slaughtering Christians in other parts of the world, a world that I firmly believe is close to its end. And yet these four stand and they confess their faith. And we confess with them that God has made us his people in the work and person of Jesus Christ. That is why heaven is rejoicing over all that's taking place today. And so to you, Savannah, Tim, Hannah, and George, and yes, even you, little Lexi, may our Lord ever keep your faith grounded in the rock-solid reality that your salvation in Jesus Christ is firmly given to you. For you bear upon your head and upon your heart the cross of Christ Jesus, marking you as one redeemed by him and him crucified. And the same goes for all of us today. He has called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. He has called us out of a world full of death and suffering to life and to salvation. All of heaven is rejoicing over what is taking place this day, and so are we. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offertory.